Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do commit this time to you and ask that you would open our hearts to the word that is going to be shared with us, and that you would help us to understand and give us the right response and lead us to the right applications. We commit every part of this time this morning to you and pray that you would be glorified through it. Amen. I have just one announcement, and that's that this meeting replaces our normal office Friday noon meeting tomorrow. So we will not be hearing from Lila tomorrow as scheduled. We'll reschedule her for sometime in January. No office meeting tomorrow. Are there any other announcements that should be made? Okay, I'll turn the program over to Jack Mayhall.
Thanks, Bob. I think most of you are aware of the reason for this meeting, so I'm going to start by not telling you the purpose of it. I'll get to that eventually, however. First, I'd like to share something, both an experience that Carol and I had early in our career with the Navigators, and then also something from the Word. In 1955, Carol and I attended our first Navigator conference here at Glen Eyrie, and that's when men were men and women were women coming to Navigator conferences. She slept in a room with five or six other girls back in the servants' wing, and I slept in room 201, which was a men's dorm at that time, with about 12 other guys on bunk beds. And that's the way they went in those days. That was our first Navigator conference that we had both attended, and it was kind of an interesting experience for both of us. Then in 1956, I came here for my second time at Glen Eyrie at the invitation of DOS to talk about the possibility of our coming on the staff. And some of you have heard me tell that story and how I walked the path around the island, which was not paved in those days. It was dirt. And your shoes got all dirty and dusty. And one Thursday night, I walked around that island about six or seven times praying and asking the Lord for his guidance, and finally made it very clear to me that we should leave a job that we had in Portland, Oregon, and come on the staff of the Navigators. So the next morning, I walked into Doss's office, sat down, and announced this to him. And he said, "Well, that's what I expected to happen. And we'd like to have you go to Long Beach, California, and direct the Christian Servicemen Center out there." I didn't know anything about servicemen. I'd never been in the service. I didn't know anything about a servicemen's center. And so I argued with him for 15 or 20 minutes and soon gave up because I realized it didn't do any good to argue with Doss Troutman. So we ended up going to Long Beach. We moved into the Nav home out there and adopted five people who were living with us at the time, which we did not know. They didn't know us. We didn't know them. And within the first week of being there, I discovered that the Christian Servicemen's Center, which I was to direct, was $2,800 in debt, and therefore I would not be receiving a salary until we got out of debt. Well, now that was a new experience for me at that time. And so, not knowing what else to do, we got the little gang together around the table there at the house that night when I found that out after dinner, about eight of us, and we began to talk about this and pray about it. How in the world can we possibly come up with $2,800? And we had no idea of how to even begin. Now, $2,800 at that time was like, a fortune. It just was beyond the grasp of our mental abilities to even come to grips with it. But we began to pray, and one of the guys suggested a passage of Scripture in 2 Chronicles, which I'd like to read to you this morning, because when I first found out earlier this week about the financial situation that we now find ourselves in. This passage of Scripture came to my mind last Tuesday morning as I was having my quiet time, and I reread it two or three times and went over it and just kind of reminisced on what the Lord had taught us during those days. And I think there's something here for us in the situation that we face right now. So if you got your Bibles, you might want to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, the chapter begins with a tragedy. A critical situation has developed. The people of Moab and the people of Ammon have decided to go to war against the children of Israel. And Jehoshaphat is king at that time. And the people of Moab and the people of Ammon are a pretty formidable foe. They're strong. They've got a fantastic army. They've got all the accoutrements of military warfare. And when the people of Israel get wind of this and find out that all this mighty host is coming against them, they don't know what to do. And so the king decides to do a very significant thing. He prays. In verse 3 it says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask the help of God." Here we have a nation on its knees before the Lord now, in time of crisis, in time of trouble. "Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord our God." And then you have recorded his prayer, his supplication to the Lord for his help. And he gets down to the end of the prayer in verse 12. And he says, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Now, we are in a warfare, all of us right here, and we have a formidable enemy out there that is out to get us. And right now, we are faced with a very critical financial situation. And it would like to do us in. And it could if we let it. And I, right now, don't feel that there is a great deal that we can do except really look to the Lord. That's the first step, is prayer. That's what these people did. The first thing that the king thought about doing was getting on his knees, getting his people on their knees before the Lord and bringing this problem and this situation before the Lord. And they just frankly admitted to God that, you know, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And it says in verse 13, "And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children." This was a family affair, nationwide. Everybody got involved, even the kids, in praying about this crisis situation that they were facing in the nation at that time. Then in verse 14 it goes on, "And the Lord spoke to them through one of his prophets. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of hard name, a Levite, of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation." Here was this one guy standing here, and all of a sudden the Lord began to speak to him and what the children of Israel should do, and so he made his announcement. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you." First of all, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. No time for panic, no time for fear, no time to get depressed or discouraged. "By reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." And you know, as I was thinking about this Tuesday morning and knowing of the facts that I'm going to give to you in just a few minutes, That was a great comfort. The battle is not yours, but God's. He is very much in control. He knows about the situation. He knows the need. And he has an answer. Now, the next couple of statements are very interesting to me. He says, the battle is not yours, but God's. Then in the very next breath, he says, tomorrow go down against them. Now, wait a minute, Lord. The battle is not ours, it's yours. But you're telling us to get up and go out against them. That really isn't logical, is it? But that's the way God worked in this particular situation. He wasn't going to let the people off the hook by sitting on their duffs and do nothing. He was going to work. It was his victory. He was going to take care of things. But he wanted them to get out of their houses, get down there on the battlefield, and then watch him work. And it says, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, however. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, be not dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. There it is again. The battle is not yours, but mine, God says. Nevertheless, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And so Jehoshaphat bowed his head to the ground, and they fell on their face before the Lord and worshiped him. And that's exactly what they did the next day. They got out there, and they saw God work. And if you go down to verse 25, you can read the rest of that, what God did. He smote the enemy. He defeated. He brought them through in a very critical situation. And in verse 25 it says, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in the abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And it took them 3 days to carry off all the loot. Now there's some real applications from this passage, I feel, to us in the situation that we're in right now. And I'm going to come back to them in just a minute. But first of all, let me explain to you as clearly as I can the situation. Right now, as far as the headquarters operation of the Navigators is concerned, we're probably in the most critical financial situation we've ever been in before in the history of the Navigators. And I have checked that statement with two people who know the history, and they agree with it. The last fiscal year we ended, August 31, about $130,000 in the red. Now, that was less than we had anticipated. We thought we were going to be more in the red than that. So, really, that was encouraging. And as you know, the Decade of Development Calling Program was the fruits and the returns of that, the gifts that the people pledged during the DOD program, was for two purposes. One was to meet the deficit that we knew we were going to have with regards to the headquarters operation here. The other was to begin construction on certain projects that we needed with regards to buildings and improvements, capital improvements. And the board of directors of the Navigators had prayed over this, thought about it, and had made a decision as to how to split this money. We had made projections and so forth, and so they came to a decision on that. And so much money has been planned and allotted to pick up the deficit that we knew we were going to encounter for last year, this year, and the next year for the administrative headquarters functions, and then so much allotted for capital improvements. So this $130 at the end of the last fiscal year was from those DOD funds which had been designated by the Board of Directors for that purpose. And fortunately, we did not need as much as we thought we would. However, we've seen something happen during the first 3 months of this fiscal year, the first quarter, that has never happened in Navigator history before with regards to finances. We have never had a period of 3 to 6 months in the Navigators before when the income for the present year has not exceeded the income from the previous year. Our growth pattern of income from gifts of people has always increased. Now, some years more than others, but we've never had a decrease. Now, maybe for a month, but never for a period of months, such as a quarter of the year. That happened this year. In fact, from regular giving, this is not counting the decade of division, decade of development money now. From our regular giving, for the same period this year, September, October, and November, compared to the same period last year, September, October, and November, the income was 25% less than a year ago for that three-month period. Now, from the standpoint of Rod and Jerry, who've been involved in this up to their ears for years, I think they would use the word tragic with respect to that, because they've never seen that happen before. Now, normally, the first 5 months of our present fiscal year are the best income months, September through January. People just respond toward the end of the year. They seem to have extra money that they want to put toward the Lord's work. And so as you get closer to the end of the year and then right after the first of the year, our giving picks up. This year, it's been just the opposite. The drop has been since September. October was less. November was, as one of the guys said, tragic. Now, our total income for the first quarter, including DOD money, and I'm going to round this off to thousands, the nearest thousands of dollars, to make it easier for you, was $287,000. Now, that was our total actual income. We needed, in order to meet our budget, we needed $413,000. We actually spent $1,000 over that. So we spent, during the same period that we were only getting $286,000, we spent $414,000. Which means, if you can do any simple subtraction there, at the end of November, we were $127,000 in the red. Now, this happened so fast, and it was so unexpected, that it got on us before we realized really what was happening. Now, gang, if this trend were to continue, by the end of the fiscal year, we'd be $500,000 in debt. And if that happened, we very likely would be out of business. That's almost $10,000 a week going in the red. And brother, that's a lot of money in a week. Now, what are the causes for this? Well, I'm not sure that any of us really know. We are not disappointed, for instance, in the fact of our spending. Over a three-month period, being right on the button with respect to our expenditure budget is not a bad thing. It's pretty good. That means all of us have been watching it pretty carefully. And we have been pretty accurate on what our expenditures needed to be with respect to preparing our budgets ahead of time. But we're probably going to have to make some changes in that. The economic condition that our country is now in, the inflation that's taking place, the depressed state of the economy, is probably a big factor. in the minds of a lot of our donors who are being very careful about what they're doing with their money, and they may be hanging on to it. We just don't know. We cannot right now. We have not had a chance to really analyze it and try to figure out what the cause really is, but the income has dropped off dramatically. We have checked with some other Christian organizations, and they are experiencing similar situations. We've done a little checking. I want to do some more today on our area men out in the areas. And the little that we have done, we are finding that some of our area guys are really beginning to hurt. Their income is beginning to drop off. Some guys are down 60% of their budget. We're going to do some checking overseas as well and find out if this inflationary thing that's really worldwide is hitting and hurting our men overseas. Now, we expect the worst and are praying for the best. By that I mean, we probably have not hit bottom yet on the drop-off of income. It's probably going to get worse before it gets better. We have to plan that way. Because at the rate of $10,000 a month in the red, we've just got to take some dramatic and drastic steps in order to curb that immediately. So there's just no question in our minds that we are in a crisis situation similar to the one that Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel found themselves in. And they really didn't know what to do, so they looked to the Lord and they began to pray. And what should our heart attitude be? What should our outlook be? Well, we could panic. We could despair. We could throw up our hands and say, what's the use? But we can't do that. We really can't do that, can we? And there are three things that I feel that from this passage that we can do, that we can take steps to meet this situation that we're facing. And it involved everybody. Everybody got involved. The wives, the children, everybody. First of all, we can pray. Secondly, we can do what they did. Believe that God is on the throne, that He is in control, that He knows the situation, and believe Him by faith that He is going to see us through this. And then thirdly, we can do just what He told them to do, and that is, the battle is not yours, it's mine. Nevertheless, tomorrow, get out there. Face the problem. Don't sit home mulling it over and wondering fearfully what God is going to do. Get out there. I'll show you what I'm going to do. In other words, meet the problem head on. All of us. And gang, what I'm going to say now, I include myself in. Just as much as I include Rod and Lauren Sanney and Jim Downing and all of us. We're in this together. But I think each of us must begin to ask ourselves some questions. Like, how can I cut costs in doing my job? How can I cut costs? Not my supervisor. Let's not pass the buck. Let's think on our own. Where can we shave some dollars in the way I'm doing my job or in my department to come up with ideas, to be creative in our thinking? And to me, this is a part of prayer, asking God for ideas, praying for a creative, fertile mind to give us these kinds of thoughts. Secondly, how can I work more effectively? Get more done in less time. Now, this will take some thought on the part of all of us. Thirdly, what can I do to prepare myself to do a better job? Maybe there's a book I can read. Maybe there's somebody that I can talk to. Maybe there's some ideas that somebody's got that would help me do a better job, a more effective job, which in a way will be cutting costs. because we'll be getting more work done in less time and better. Am I giving an hour's work for an hour's pay? Is my heart really in my job? Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Who are you really working for? The navigators? Your supervisor? Or the Lord? And I think we all need to just do a little self-evaluation, take a little inventory. This is a good time of the year to do that anyway, by the way. You got a new year ahead of us. All of us this month ought to be thinking back over the past year, making some thoughts and plans for the coming year, goals, objectives that we have. And maybe two or three of them would relate to your job and just improving yourself, becoming more effective, more efficient. And then who are you doing it to? Heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Is my first priority in my work to honor Christ by doing the best job possible? All right, let me back up over those three things again and just make a couple of comments about each of them. Prayer. Now today, at the end of the meeting, we're going to take some time just to pray together. I'd like to ask all of you, the department managers, the supervisors, each Monday morning for the next several weeks, at the beginning of the workday, from 8 until about 8:30, take a half an hour for prayer with regards, specifically zeroing in on this financial situation. And I've checked this out with Stevens, and it's okay with him. In fact, he's excited about it. So you supervisors, take the initiative on this. Get the gang together, or just two or three of you get together, and each Monday morning, take from 8 to 8:30 and spend in prayer with regards to this. The next Dear Staff letter that goes out will be with regards to this situation, informing the staff around the world and recruiting prayer for it. So those are some things we're going to be doing in prayer. Get your family to be praying about it. Get the kids involved. Get your wives involved. Secondly, believing God to meet our needs. To meet our needs for finances, for wisdom on our job, as I mentioned before. To really believe that God can give us ideas and that we can personally get involved in this by the way our heart responds and our attitude toward these matters. For ideas to cut expenses, and brother, we are open to any ideas that you may have. I've got a couple of things that I want to suggest that are immediate things we're going to do, but there are probably a lot of things that you could think of that we could do. Some of them you can initiate yourself. Some you may not be able to, but somebody else can. Well, make sure the right person hears about those ideas. Then we're going to have to believe God for our own lives, for His future for us. I know probably through some of your minds is going the thought, well, are we going to have to lay some people off? Well, I don't know, but that may be. And, you know, maybe God has something to teach all of us or a number of us through that kind of a situation. But this is a matter of faith, of believing Him, of putting our lives in His hands. And the third thing, to meet the problem head on. Now, we're going to do all we can to increase the income. We have talked about it a little bit, and there are already two or three ideas that are beginning to generate. But that's going to take some time to get some new thoughts going and new ideas on how we can deal with the income situation that we're facing, because we've never faced one like this before. With the kind of situation we have in our country that we have now, especially. But probably the most immediate thing that we can do is begin to cut costs. And that's what we want to begin to work on today. And we're going to take two steps beginning today to do this. And I'd like to explain them to you. Number one is we're going to suspend all budgets. Now, most of you who are in a situation where you have money to spend within your department, you do that within the context of the budget, which has been prepared ahead of time. All right, we're mentally now tossing budgets out the window. What that means is that no expenditures without prior approval. Now, in the past, up until now, the budget has been the approval. You look at your budget, can we afford this month, etc. Well, in order to help us all become conscious of the fact that we really need to cut costs, we're just not going to spend any money unless we have at least two or three people involved in that decision to spend it, to make the decision. Now, this refers to things like new equipment, hiring new personnel, all travel, taking someone out to lunch on the navigators, and so forth. Now, I thought about this in respect to myself, and I thought, Mayhall, you've developed some bad habits. This is not going to be easy on you. Because there, and I'm sure that many of us are in the same situation. I recognize this for myself. We just automatically have gotten used to doing things a certain way. Well, for a while we're going to have to get used to doing things another way. We're going to have to begin to think about taking that guy out to lunch. Is it really absolutely necessary? Now, gang, we've all got to be involved in this. You know, if just half of you here left those kinds of decisions up to somebody up the line without your first contemplating it and thinking about it, I hate to think of the poor guys who really do have to make the decisions. That's all they'd have time to do. They would be flooded with requests. But the way this has got to work is that each of us have got to accept the responsibility for making some of those decisions ourselves. In other words, if an expenditure is coming up and a decision is involved in making that, and you are involved in spending that money, you've got to stop and think. Now listen, Mayhall, is this necessary? What are the pros and cons? Can I really get by without this? And then if you make a no decision, no, we don't need to spend that money, all right, the decision's made, great. But if you come to the conclusion, well, boy, we've really got to have this, then you pass it on up to your supervisor and to Bob, and then he and Jerry will get together and make the decision on whether that we should spend that money. And with the International Headquarters operation, the same thing will happen with Rod being the final arbitrator right now. So that's the first thing we want to do. Suspend all budgets. Things will be handled on a per item basis. No expenditure without prior approval. But as I've explained, this really involves all of us in the decision-making process. We've got to make some of those decisions. Then the second thing is we want to begin immediately a department-by-department analysis to evaluate our costs to our results. A task force has been set up of Bob Stevens, Jerry Bridges, Rod Sargent, John Watson, myself, to do this. So I'm not sure what this means. We haven't done this in a long, long time. And what the implications of it are, what God is going to lead us to do and show us and bring to light, I don't know. But we do feel, as we've talked about it, that we need to do this. So those are the two bits of action that we're taking. But I really believe that prayer is going to be the key. That our believing God for a number of things, not only the finances, but some other things as well, and then doing everything we can to accept the responsibility for this right where we are, in each one individually, is going to be the key. Now, at the same time that we're doing all this, we will try as much as possible to keep you informed of where we stand. And we're going to try to do this on a weekly basis. We're not sure yet whether we can put all the facts and figures together every week, but we'll try to do that so that you will know, so you can pray intelligently about this and know where we are from time to time. Okay, do you have any questions with respect to this whole matter that one of us could answer? Yes.
Do you mind us sharing this with people to whom you minister, or do you want to keep it just within our family?
No, I don't. I have no problem at all with you sharing it. I feel that possibly part of the income situation could be met by people just being made aware of the need. And how we are going to do that with our constituency, we haven't really decided yet. We're not sure what we can do. Somebody else had a hand up down here. Yes, Kathy.
By that portion in the past, but there seemed to me, as I have studied it in the past, a third step, and I feel that it is very important and very honoring to God. The first step, in acceptance, lie of peace. The second step, believing God, but it seemed to me that the Lord is emphasizing the third step, and that is corporate praise.
Yes.
And thanksgiving.
Yeah, that really is in here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, when you finish out the chapter, that's how they end up. Right.
I felt like, it's been like this. Well, here's the problem. And at stage one, we could be problem-oriented. At stage two, we may still be problem-oriented. But stage three, to me, this is the highest form of trust, because then that takes our eyes completely off the problem and centers it on God and concentrates on His attributes and then thanks Him for what He has given us.
Good word, Kathy. Thank you.
Sorry.
No, that's great. Appreciate that, because it's really in that passage. That's the result of, that's what it all results in. Bob?
Jack, you mentioned headquarters operation. You haven't said anything about the Glen operation. Are they functioning okay? Are they with us?
They're with us. They are in the same kind of situation. I'm not as familiar with it, but I've talked to Russ just briefly to know that they are. And most of them are here. I think the guys are in the building are not here this morning, working on the building. We've asked Jim Downing to share some thoughts with us this morning with respect to this situation. In order to put it in God's historical perspective, and Jim is the kind of the father figure of the Navigators, and he's been around longer than almost all of us here put together, probably. I don't know what all he's going to talk about, but I know he could probably take the whole rest of the morning and talk about things that would relate to this situation we're now facing and how God has worked in the past and miracles that He has performed. And just to encourage us and to stimulate our faith and our trust in the Lord. So, and then after Jim is finished, we'll have some time in prayer. Okay, Jim.
Jack, I think we should...